Good afternoon. Anyone familiar with EamonMalley.com on this website will know of my preoccupation with suicide. The fact is that three people quite close to me in life lost or took their own lives or died as a result of self-inflicted death. Professor Mike Tomlinson of Queen's University has just published a work in which he now concludes that there is a direct correlation between the Troubles and the history of the Troubles and suicide in our midst. He's my guest this afternoon, and I'll begin by asking him, essentially, why he's so convinced now? What new information has emerged to underscore what was originally a mere thesis, Mike?
Eamon, the reason that I undertook this research was that our suicide trend in Northern Ireland seemed to be travelling in a completely different direction than suicide trends of those places around us, the Republic of Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales. If we look at those jurisdictions, broadly speaking, over the last decade or so, there's been a gentle decline in suicide rates in those places. Not so with Northern Ireland. What we've seen is an almost doubling of our overall rate. And so this raises a question, why are we different? And of course, an obvious reason would be to link it to our troubled past. But it's not good enough just to speculate about this. It's about demonstrating that those people that were born into the conflict and those people that were most, if you like, socialized into the most violent years of the conflict are in fact the cohort of people, the age group traveling through, who are now experiencing the highest suicide rates and also the most rapidly increasing suicide rates.
Okay. Let's examine that fact. What's the profile, then, of the average person committing suicide? Does that person have a prison background? Was that person charged? Was that the parent of somebody who went to jail? Was it the offspring of somebody who went to jail? How do you break this down?
I think that's a very different question. The data that I'm working with here is what we record and publicise about individual suicide, completed suicides in Registrar General reports. Unfortunately, we're only given information about cause of death, about gender, and about age. Broad age bans. So we have to work with that kind of data. If we were to do anything more than that, we'd have to go through 6,500 individual coroner's reports on individual deaths to attribute, say, community background, social class, occupation, and some of these other biographical features that you're talking about.
But what is your criterion, though? What is the criterion you're using to directly link these deaths, though, to the Troubles? I mean, so you must have some benchmark which you're using. Is it a social thing? Is it because they come from Rathcoole, the village, New Lodge, or where, in places like Belfast?
No, it's not about where people have come from. It's about the society that they grew up in and the social and political context of that society. I think we can say two kinds of things that link the recent increase in suicides to Troubles experience and Troubles society, if you like. I think we can refer to the specific impact of bereavement, of witnessing violence, of injury, people that were very much in the front line of the violence.
Who are these people, for example?
Well, they're people in the armed groups, the people that went to prison, the people in the security forces, prison officers, police officers, UDR people. Largely men, in fact, those people that I'm referring to there, and we do have the information, of course, that in terms of completed suicides, men are 3.5 times more likely to do that than women.
You talk about completed suicides. These are very abstract terms for many of our listeners. In other words, those are people who actually kill themselves, who may have attempted to kill themselves at one stage but didn't for whatever reason, but eventually kill themselves. So is that what you define as completed suicide?
We're talking about people that end up as a suicide statistic as far as the Registrar General is concerned. And, of course, one of the arguments about suicide is, can we actually rely on those statistics? And part of the argument is to demonstrate that there's sufficient reliability, particularly over long periods of time, that allow us to work with this data and make the kinds of comments that I'm trying to make. So what I'm focusing on here is very much a cohort effect, and I'm saying there are two possible pathways, if you like, that might explain this. One is direct experience and what we know about the impacts on mental health of people in the front line of the conflict. We know about that from previous surveys and studies. But also to talk about something which maybe is a little bit more speculative, which is to say, well, what has actually changed that might associate elevated suicide rates with the movement towards peace? And if you think about it, one of the arguments is that the people that are children of the Troubles knew no other context than a conflicted context. They knew no other context than a violent and authoritarian kind of context. Suddenly, the politicians tell us it's all over, that it's no longer socially or politically approved to engage in that kind of level of divisive and spirited and passionate.
So just to clarify, debate. Just to clarify, so the professor, like, Dr. McGarry, Philip McGarry, the psychiatrist, he would argue that with the social side of the community, with the economic decline of our community in Britain, etc., that the graph of suicide has gone up. But are you saying that when you put everything into the melting pot, there's this other factor at work in Northern Ireland which is driving those figures much higher than elsewhere within these islands?
Obviously, suicidologists have told us in the past that one of the big things that we need to look at is economic crisis, economic change. Any sudden kind of shock to the economic system that might produce change. Actually, it might be a shock of the kind of a sudden acceleration of economic development that could cause a lot of migratory change and contribute to people being disconnected from their traditional communities and so on and so forth. Now, in our case, it is not credible to talk about unemployment or some sudden increase in unemployment in the contemporary period. When I say the contemporary period, I'm talking about 1998 onwards. We have never had a higher employment rate than we've had during that period. So unemployment doesn't really stack up as a reason.
Will you crystallise the figures, though, proportionately, Northern Ireland vis-a-vis a comparable area in the UK, Republic of Ireland?
Well, certainly. I mean, the Republic of Ireland is a reasonably small jurisdiction to compare ourselves to, as is Wales. Scotland, of course, is fairly large. But no, I think the comparison is reasonable.
But in terms of the numbers of committing suicide here, vis-a-vis these other comparable regions, how dramatically different or worse are we, if that's the correct term?
Okay, we've now got to the situation where we're more or less in pole position. We've overtaken England, we've overtaken Scotland, we've overtaken Wales, and on the headline statistics, we've overtaken the Republic, but there's differences there in the way that they count the headline statistics.
Now, is this rural or urban in your analysis, which is showing up as being more culpable, rural inhabitants or urban inhabitants?
I don't discriminate between rural and urban, not in this particular work. This is really discussing cohort effects. It's discussing age and gender as the main variables. Yes, there is information about suicide rates in more rural district councils, for example, but you're dealing with very, very small numbers there to make any kind of overall conclusions from.
Where is this going to lead you, Professor?
Well, I think I'm going back to consider where we stand in relation to suicide prevention policies. And so,
can you explain, though, that I think you said earlier that up to 70% of those who commit suicide had not had any previous medical attention. Is that correct?
We know this because there is a confidential inquiry process. Anybody that takes their own life who has been in touch with a medical practitioner in the last 12 months, their situation is automatically referred to the confidential inquiry, who do a full kind of autopsy on their details, their contact, professional advice, the drugs they were being administered, and so on. But it's about 73%, something like that, of completed suicide in Northern Ireland don't have any history of that kind at all. So our specialist attention is focused on that 27-28% and not on this other group of people for which or for whom, to all intents and purposes, for the people surrounding them, and you very often hear this, suicide comes out of the blue.
Professor Mike Thomason, thank you very much indeed for giving me your time. It's a very disturbing trend. I just don't know how corrective society can be, but clearly you have raised grave concerns here, and I'm grateful for your time on emanmalley.com. Good afternoon.